This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, a packed 2 hours. How about a Hall of Famer to start the third? It's Thursday here on Sharp Money. Patrick Maher, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. That means Vinny Maliulo from behind the book there at the South Point. It's a big day here at VSiN. The 2023 NFL betting guide dropped earlier today. Go to vsin.com/subscribe to get your copy. Vin, what's going on? What game are you watching? I see you watching the games. Which one are you focused on there?
Well, I'm rooting for you guys. I know you guys are in it. See, this is why I love this segment every week, because I know this, that for every show there, you know, somebody's in action, but this show has the most of people in action.
Let's bring the big guy in, because he's got a pretty cool sweat.
There he is.
Here. All right, go ahead. Paint the picture for Vinny. What's happening here?
I want to die. That's the picture.
Come on.
And here's the thing about the action thing. If I wasn't here, I wouldn't be betting these games, but they're on everywhere and I want to be involved.
Wait, that's a second. Hold on a second. Dustin, if you were not here right now, you would not be.
I wouldn't have bet as many of them.
I was going to say, don't say you wouldn't bet every, because I know you would. The yes, you would be in action.
Come on, big guy. You come on. Let's freaking go. Can you please explain what you're sweating so everybody knows?
It's happening right now for me.
Got
8-4 Tigers. I need one
more
run.
I know. That's what I just said.
Bases loaded.
Please explain.
Let's go.
That's all. There you go.
Okay. Hold on. We are doing a broadcast. You have to explain what you're sweating.
I went Texas Rangers team total. Over 5. Yes. Technically, I'm at a push right now. I don't know why I celebrated, but it felt like a win. They've been losing. They loaded the bases. I believe a run was walked in.
Walked in, Jankowski.
So they were at 3. Jankowski walks with the bases loaded to get 4. A sack fly to left just made it 5. They're losing. I don't care if they win the game. They're losing 8-5. There's 2 runners on, 2 out for Adolis Garcia. Would really like the guy who I think leads their team in RBI this year to come through here and drive in one more so I can win this bet.
Let's go.
By the way, he's
there. It is. No. Sorry.
Yeah, I can see this now. A couple of things right now. So even if it's a push, it'll be reinvested before we go off the air.
Patrick said, "There it is." So this, I don't know what happens here.
No. It was I'm not on. I'm not watching live. I'm on my phone. Did you just lose it?
Push.
It's over.
All right,
pushing this one's as good as a win.
Just a transfer of funds.
Yeah. Oh, 1-1 to start the day feels real good.
There we go.
Feels real good too. When Amal on the break is like, curious. Why did you bet over 5 runs? Because a stat that he just learned in the break during the broadcast, that they only have scored over 5 runs like 19 times in their wins. So he's asking me what research I did. Here was my research.
I heard it.
Olsen from the Tigers was pitching. That's the research I needed against an elite MLB offense. Sorry, Vinny.
And that's the kind of passion that we enjoy so much from our side of the counter as well, ladies and gentlemen.
I did hear it. That is facts. Now, would you like to push back, Amal Shaw?
Yeah, I'm just saying, when you look at it from an overall perspective for this team, they've won 49 games. So basically now with this game being played, let's say they had gotten the win here, they would have gotten over. You've been 40% of the games are only exceeding that number. That's a tough number. You got to get to 6 to win the bet. Yeah. That's a pretty strong number.
What kind of car do you drive?
I don't. I Uber.
You should get a DeLorean and tell me that information before I place the bet next time.
Well, it's for future reference. It's for future reference. Don't be a hater. I'm trying to save you in the future.
Send that info before the show.
I have a question. I have a question. So I have a price in mind. Dustin, you're going to get this. You have this push, okay? You will reinvest this, won't you?
If there's money in the account, it will be gambled.
Amal, there's the price right there.
I was actually surprised it was that low. It was only -250.
Well, listen, we believe in fair pricing here at the South Point. Now, I'm not saying that based on the action that'll come in, we're being generous here. Get it now, because the price will go up. Attaboy,
Vinny,
Dustin.
The proliferation of sports betting across the country has been amazing. With regulation comes a spotlight. Mm-hmm. Shine on the industry. And every different, I guess if you want to call it, vocation has a set of guidelines, including the NFL, including every major league sport.
in some of these players. Like we just heard, another Titan is getting suspended. Rodgers got suspended. Two others. So not Aaron Rodgers, Isaiah Rodgers with the Colts. So there are players being suspended. Jameson Williams, and we can go on and on. Mm-hmm. What is your reaction to some of these NFL players being suspended for betting?
Yeah, it's unfortunate, really, guys, because the thing about it is that, and I'll go back to pre-PASPA, and when VSiN came on the air, Nevada had the exclusive for sports wagering. I mean, Delaware was kind of just coming back to it in parlays. Oregon was not active, even though it was on the books. So sports wagering was becoming more mainstream, and now it is mainstream. It's part of our daily sports fabric, right, when you think about it. I mean, you can't watch a sporting event today without a reference, right, or references about the gaming component. That said, I'm not so sure that these players know their own rules. Now, it's up to them to know the rules. Now, I don't know what they're betting on. I think a lot of it has to do with some misunderstanding as to where they're making bets. If it's on a team / company facility, at a facility, whatever the case may be. The bottom line is this. And years ago, my colleagues and I, we would rotate. We would go to the security meetings for the respective leagues to talk to them about our industry. It didn't get a lot of publicity. Didn't get any publicity, actually. We talked to the NCAA because we were regulated, and many of the heads of security for the respective leagues and the NCAA, their colleagues were in the corporate security division of our companies. Corporate security, again, when I talk about corporate security, guys, it's not the uniform security that you see throughout the property, particularly on the casino floor. These are the individuals who do vetting, do background checks, government affairs work, and they network just for the security of the company and the financial from the financial standpoint and gaming licensing standpoint. So they had their network the way we have our network behind the counter. They had their network, and we would go to the respective leagues and talk about our business and be fully transparent and try to convince them really that we were in the same vein of integrity and all those things. So that's it. Now you fast forward to today. I'm not so sure that the players understand or taking the time or analyzing exactly what it is they can and can't do. I mean, you know, we were talking off air. If you're a player today and you want to have, you know, a Friday night card game with your buddies, you the first thing you should do is A, call your agent, and then find out from the league, from your organization, your team. What can I do and what can I do? Know what right. You're – it's like me here. I know what I can do on property and representing the company and what I can't do. You have to know these things, especially today as a professional athlete. You have too much on the line. So that's the best advice I could give a player. When in doubt, just don't do it. If it has to do with gambling, if it's buying a lottery ticket, just ask.
But, you know, you bring up a great point, and Patrick, you're probably aware of this, but many people may not be. The 1996 case with Arizona State,
yes.
Stephen Heddock Smith, that was because of the work you guys had done here in Vegas. That was how it was kind of discovered and
yeah.
came about.
No, there's no question that, you know, again, and I was actually, I was asked it recently about that, about integrity and what we do. Listen, when you're doing this as long as we have, you take advantage of certain other aspects that have been improved. What's been improved since that time? Social media. There are no secrets out there. And if there's an impropriety that, or you suspect an impropriety, which you hold up on the event, or you hold up on a series of events, and you network with your colleagues, and you get your corporate security involved, and the respective leagues and things like that, your regulators, which is what occurred back then. Today, there's a lot more streamlining of that. So you have to. But as a player, as a team, you've got to make that such a priority today because of what we're seeing happening. And frankly, I would venture to say, I don't know all the particulars about all these issues with the players. I don't know if they themselves realize what they've done, to be honest. They might think it's pretty innocent. But now, it's not an excuse. You've got to know what not only is in your agreement, but what is, you know, the Players Association should get involved even more so, right? This is where the leagues and the Players Association have got to be in sync for the protection of the players.
How's the NFL conversations coming along behind the book there at the South Point? I'm guessing some heated conversations as we look to start posting some of these futures.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're just watching to see what types of suspensions there are, and you know what kind of clusters of the odds. Now, it really hasn't slowed down, interest in the Detroit Lions. Patrick, your beloved Lions.
Thank you.
People still love the Lions. I mean, that we've not seen them getting played against in their game to start the season. They start the season obviously on Thursday night against the Chiefs in Kansas City. I think if that number moves to 7.5, pros are going to take a look at and what do they do? They bet numbers, right? And you know, I think they're waiting to see if there's any change there. Parlays involving the Jaguars against the Colts in Week One, with the Jaguars -4 on the road. Parlays with the Vikings, even with some of the personnel issues going on there. You got a game between the Niners and Steelers fluctuating between 2.5 and 3. The Niners favored on the road. So, and the Eagles, you know what? Take a look at this, fellas. I mean, points are at a premium, especially in Week One. And the Eagles, they're laying that 5 with them against the Patriots.
As always, Mr. Maliulo, great to see you. We shall see you next Thursday. Sorry for the excitement.
No,
the big
keep
guy.
The passion
you know how
alive.
He is.
Keep
you know
the passion
is.
Going.
The Hall of Famer, VSiN Vinny on Twitter. We're back with Harden News next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, lots going on, of course. Free agency officially opens up mañana, tomorrow, for the NBA. We've got day baseball all over the place. We've got heart palpitations from the big guy. I'm Patrick Maher, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. Thank you to VSiN Vinny, Vinny Maliulo, for stopping by. Oh, I buried the lead. Oh, look at the mean mug on Dustin's face. Could you tell you were having resting B face right
there? Yeah, I could feel the jowls going down.
Yeah, it looked like you just ate a bad banana.
A potential double play ball by the Angels. I'm grasping here, hoping guys like Mike Moustakas and Matt Thace can come through for me right now. It's not good. It's not looking good.
Just remember, you were stuck on the word cusp. And you pulled precipice. I worked with you for a long time. That's about as good as I've seen. And I listen, we get paid to talk, and obviously all of us stellar at it. Just ask us. But that was, my goodness, that was tremendous. Just word gymnastics from the big guy. Oh, I buried the lead. The betting guide dropped today. VSiN.com/subscribe to make sure you check out the NFL betting guide. You won't regret it. That's I know you tune into a network like this, you expect us to sell it. I can tell you, I've had an opportunity to look at my colleague's work. It's freaking tremendous. Really give them a lot of credit. Now, a couple of things. One, we mentioned the trade deadline, free agency officially opening up tomorrow for the NBA. Well, it's now being reported that James Harden opts in with the 76ers. 76ers fans, if you like James Harden, you shouldn't be excited. If you don't like James Harden, you should be very excited. Picking up the option means that he's going to be traded. So that means once you pick up that 35.6, again, he'd be an unrestricted free agent in 2024. Looks like the two sides, the 76ers and Harden, are working together on a trade. And one of you two, I can't remember which one, said during the break coming back, you know the two teams that are mostly interested in Harden. Go ahead, jump in.
I think one of them was the Clippers that was an interest potentially there. I didn't see the other team.
The other team, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, is, by the way, Wojnarowski. It's a little bit harder to say than I think.
It's a terrible name.
Yeah, he should change it. And that's coming from someone with the last name Sweetelson. So, I mean, it should speak volume or volumes.
Probably more than one, but go ahead.
The New York Knickerbockers are the other team potentially that could get in the mix for a trade for James Harden.
So the teams that we had heard immediately was Houston, and now we're hearing the Clip, Leon Rose, your boy with the Knicks. He to me is interesting. It's intriguing. They need to make a splash. They did actually make a pretty big announcement. I don't know if it was officially announced, but it looks like Josh Hart picked up his option. He's going to stick around with the Knicks.
Yeah, maybe he'll be part of that deal. I don't know, because you know they need to match the salaries and whatnot, so they got to build up to all that money that Harden opted into. On the surface, I hate the idea, and when I think about it more, I hate it even more.
Don't you guys feel like sometimes in the NBA, this is like a chessboard, there's just pieces being moved, but it's not improving 80% of teams, or it's not making them worse? It's just, you're just trading salary to bring in somebody else and eventually dump that contract somewhere else.
Harden's become, listen, what's that?
It's a lot of doggy paddling.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're talking about James Harden's, you know, in life he's a winner. On the basketball court, he's a loser. I mean, he's just been a loser his whole entire career. Anytime he's been in a big spot, failure. Now, he's turned into more of a facilitator because he's sedentary as a human now. And if he's not, look, the reason it wasn't going to work with Houston is you've got so many young pieces. He's ISO. Like, even at this point in his career, even as a facilitator, the ball just stops. It dies in James Harden's hands. You have to be prepared. You were kind of giving me that, I see look, Dustin, so I'll let you follow up here. But one thing is for sure, if you do trade for James Harden, it's a philosophy switch. Like, there's a shift in philosophy, what you want to do offensively. There isn't an offense right now that is curtailed for Harden. You have to present that offense once you trade for him.
I think what you were saying is mostly right. I think he wants to go back to being that guy that just dribbles out the clock
and that's an issue
and draws fouls. And by the way, it is a very unappealing style of basketball that we've seen has a very clear ceiling. Like, you could only go so far playing that style of basketball with James Harden at the helm, but he definitely wants to go back to being that dude, especially after he was questioned during the postseason last year if he still had that in him. I just see him, if he comes to the Knicks, look, I don't think this Knicks roster as assembled now is winning a title, but I don't think adding James Harden makes you better or worse at contending for the title.
That's exactly my point. You bring up an excellent point. I don't think the Knicks, all of a sudden, you go, wow, watch out, Boston, watch out, Milwaukee. It's just, you know, he's a guy who's going to get you 20 a night, 21, 22 points a game, but I don't see the true upside at $36 million.
He could mess up the other team's bullpen usage, though, if they throw three lefties at you with Randall, Harden, and R.J. Barrett.
Here's the problem. If you're he's going to be 34 in August. Mm-hmm. He loves strippers.
Yeah.
He loves hanging out into the middle of the night. He's a night owl with strippers and honey buns. He is going to get traded. If you're giving up assets for Harden during the trade deadline here or when free agency opens, that means you're going to give him an extension. So you're going to extend a guy, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, that is portly, become less dynamic as an athlete, more sedentary, and turning 34. So you're going to trade assets and then extend him.
Well, you bring up
not a good look.
You bring up a great point on extending him. This is the last year of his deal, correct?
Correct.
And you brought up another important point. He's going to be 34. So when this season concludes, you're looking at years 35 and 36. I'm not looking to give up a lot. I'm not looking forward to a 35 and 36-year-old James Harden. Half the time, it already seems like he's halfway out the door.
I'm looking at some global odds for his next team. The Rockets minus 400 are the favorite. The Spurs, the second shot on the board at 8-1. The Clippers at 9-1. The Mavs at 10-1. Can you imagine if he goes to Dallas and plays with Luka? That's a heavy backcourt.
I tell you one thing.
They're going to have to get a Destination XL sponsor on that jersey. By the way, this shirt is from
one
before
word,
anyone says
keto.
I'm fat shaming, I own mirrors, and this
right.
shirt
no,
is from
I know what you're gonna say.
This
I,
shirt yeah, is we, from DXL. Relax.
You'd be interesting in San Antonio because
me or Harden?
No, James Harden.
Oh, okay.
playing with it, because the one thing I think that's been underrated in Harden's career is his ability to facilitate and pass the basketball. We still know he's a prolific scorer when he wants to be or at times, but with a guy like Wembanyama, it'll be interesting to see how things play out.
You give him a few pounds.
I do think you'd be interested in San Antonio. I could see you giving tours of the Alamo.
Oh, I'm jealous of Davy Crockett right now. He went down hard. Although the Angels cashed, by the way, the Angels bet has cashed. In
I
the
know
fourth.
We're Gucci. Hey, speaking of San Antonio, so like, did you see what this kid Wembanyama? They measured him without his shoes. He's pretty short. He was 7'3" and a half without shoes on. Like, so he is like a legit 7'5" in shoes. That kid is a use freak in a loving connotation. Like, that is, he is, it's wild. Now, which one, was it you, Dustin, that just said you kind of like the idea of him going to San Antonio, that being Harden? Why?
Amal.
Oh, I'm sorry, Amal. Why?
I think the, you know, you're going to have a guy who's going to have great opportunities at the rim in terms of alley-oops and other things if you've got the right point guard who can create. James Harden's always a tough cover. He puts you in that rocking chair. He can knock down a three-point shot. There's still things he's very capable of doing. I just don't want him for a long-term three, four, five-year type of scenario. But in a single season in San Antonio, it could be an interesting dynamic with a player of that type of offensive capability in James Harden and a young player in Victor being so talented and what he could potentially do.
The reason I never want to talk about salary caps is because they don't make sense and you can always circumvent. The reason I bring it up is, did you see where Kyrie is looking to visit?
No.
The Phoenix Suns. Could somebody explain to me? Could somebody please explain to me with a quote unquote new cap, JVT, how it would be possible to have 1, 2, 3, 4 max guys on a roster of 15 peeps because you've got Ayton maxed out, you've got Booker maxed out, and you have KD maxed out. Now you have room for Kyrie Irving. How does that work?
Don't forget Bradley Beal.
Oh my gosh. Like, seriously.
Sign and trade with DeAndre Ayton in a three-way to Dallas. You know what the worst gig in America is? I don't care what anyone says. NBA capologist. Managing the cap is the worst gig in America.
Shout out to our guy Bobby Marks.
Makes no sense.
You know what's great about his job security at ESPN? 90% of the time when he's speaking, nobody has any idea what the hell is going on.
Can't follow it. Yeah, exactly. It's above my head.
Totally. All right, so that's just it. I mean, you're right. I'm assuming they'd move on from Ayton, some sort of trade. I don't know. They'd have to get very creative as far as Kyrie. So Kyrie's a big time free agent. Van Vliet's a big time free agent. Harden's going to be, now this is a side and trade possibility. Who am I missing? Other big names as far as free agents to look forward to tomorrow.
Max Strus apparently might get paid.
Okay, we're going to come back, go back to the guy, talk Denver Broncos next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, download the DraftKings app. When you do, bet $5 to get $150 in bonuses instantly using the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. It's pretty simple. DraftKings and VSIN. $5 to win 150. Make sure you check it out. We got you back here. Sharp Money. 2023 NFL betting guide dropped earlier today. Steve Mackinnon, he's the man with the numbers. Nobody does more at extrapolating. He is just, he's got a database that's wild, and he's all over the betting guide, including he likes the Denver Broncos over 8.5. Now, if you take a look at DraftKings, the Broncos, a very interesting year for them. They're sitting 8.5 on the board, 110 up and down. So that's a solid number. And this might be, fellas, as we welcome you back here on Sharp Money, Amal, Dustin, I'm Patrick Maher. This might be the highest variance team of 2023. Like, the ceiling and floor for the Broncos, I could understand you saying they have a high ceiling. I could understand you saying they have a low floor. It's just, this is a team that went 5-12 last year. A 7-year playoff drought, which is the second longest in the NFL right now. The Jets are the only one with a longer playoff drought than the Denver Broncos. You think of them as a home team with the altitude. They've had one winning record at home since 2017. Something to take note of. Last year, 5-12, I mentioned. The defense was, frankly, really, really good. The offense was, frankly, horrific. They didn't score 30 points, as I mentioned, until the final game of the year. Averaged right around 16 points per. Got Hackett fired on December 26, somewhere right around there, I believe. He was week 16, I believe it was, for Hackett, who's now running the offense with the Jets. finished 22 players on the IR. That was the second most in the National Football League. It was a disastrous year. Here's what it comes down to. It's pretty simple. Three things. And I hate to simplify the Denver Broncos. It comes down to coaching. Sean Payton is in. Quarterback play. Russell Wilson. Completion percentage and athleticism has dropped precipitously over the past couple of years. And the third factor for the Broncos this year, health. I mentioned they finished with 22 players on the IR, which was second most. They just got hit with the injury bug last year. Again, Patrick, the receiver who everybody loves, didn't play a snap. It is a fascinating team because I mentioned you got Surtain defensively, you add Frank Clark, you add Zach Allen up front. It's a defense that was very, very good. However, they lost their defensive coordinator. Here comes Vance Joseph. Awkward. He actually was the head coach a few years back of this Denver Broncos team. He's going to be running the defense. We know what they have. Three receivers you love. Sutton with 64 catches last year. Jerry Jeudy with 67 catches last year. They get Patrick back. They drafted Marvin Mims. Javonte Williams is back in the backfield, who missed most of the season with the ACL injury. Add Samaje Perine to the backfield with some depth. An offensive line, they add a tackle, and McGlinchey should be better this year. And I mentioned defensively, very, very good. The schedule, look, you start with their division, AFC West, it's tough. They're going to be at the Bills. They're going to be at the Lions. They're going to be at the Dolphins. Some would say they're right around the 7th to 8th hardest strengths of schedule. Strength of schedule can have some variance as well when you think about them. But I'll throw it to you, Amal. Again, it's very simple. We can analyze these teams till we're blue in the face. You can talk about the Cincinnati Bengals. Somebody falls on Joe Burrow's ankle, throw all your analysis. You can talk about the Denver Broncos. It comes down to Sean Payton, who's never not had a top 12 or better offense. His first year with the Saints, he won 10 games, so he can get there and pop immediately. You expect Payton to win games in Denver. Will it be this year? It comes down to health. And it comes down to a chubby Russell Wilson not being so weird and playing better football. I'm sorry. That's it. That's the Denver Broncos 2023.
Yeah, you summarized it perfectly. To me, Russell Wilson's probably the biggest wild card going into the entire season. We don't know what we're going to get out of him. And I'll tell you, if you're a Denver Bronco fan or supporter, this is a big concern, not only for this season, but long term, because they signed him to that extension, Patrick. It could be a real problem. But you mentioned it. Sean Payton, to me, second best play caller in the National Football League behind Kyle Shanahan. He just has an ability and a knack for getting the best out of his offenses. You mentioned Vance Joseph. He'll take care of the defensive side of the ball there. But this team, offensive line, if this offensive line performs better, I think they should be pretty good. They should be effective with McGlinchey there. And, of course, Garrett Bowles on the other side. The running game is solid. I love the acquisition. You mentioned Marvin Mims, good receiver out of Oklahoma, very solid. But I think on the offensive end, two players, obviously. I mentioned Russell Wilson and then Jerry Jeudy. I think it's a big season for him. He needs to be able to deliver on that expected talent when he came out of Alabama. I'm not sure how he's going to perform. Saw some reports right now. Tim Patrick. He's been the best receiver so far in the Broncos' early stages in terms of what they've seen in their workouts. So we'll see if somebody else can step up alongside Tim Patrick.
Big guy, the aberration, hopefully for the Broncos and their fans, because it's a long-term contract, is the last two seasons from Wilson aren't necessarily what you're looking at moving forward. I said chubby. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but he did look thick last year. The reports are, and the videos coming out, are that he's slimmed down a little bit. Here's the optimal scenario. Payton gets a hold of Wilson and reverts him back to what we saw 3 years ago. The offensive line gets better. The run game becomes complementary in an offense, which Payton likes to use. Wide receivers stay healthy. The defense duplicates what they did in 2022. You could be looking at double-digit wins.
I think you're making
a lot. You could also be looking at six wins. That's why I said high variance.
So I think they have as deep a wide receiving core. They go 4, 5, 6 deep of viable options to throw the ball to, who can make plays with the balls in their hands. I mean, Marquez Callaway is coming off their bench. Like, he's not a starter. They can go and bring in Marvin Mims, the guy they just drafted out of Oklahoma. Like, they have a lot of nice weapons. They have a pretty good run game with some good runners. They have a really good defense. They have a strong secondary. I'm about to make a statement that might break a Guinness Book of World Record here. They are a quarterback away from being an elite team. And that statement has never been said about a team with a quarterback in the middle of a five-year, $242 million contract.
And one who's going to go to Canton eventually.
So I think that is the thing. You brought it all up. It all hinges on Russell Wilson. What does he have left in the tank? He's the biggest weirdo in all of the NFL. I think the clip of him last year yelling for on the sidelines for his teammates to yell whether a play was a pass or a run when his offense was on the sidelines watching the defense was honestly the worst look I've ever seen from a professional athlete. I've seen videos of athletes getting arrested.
Yeah, it's totally phony. I totally agree. By the way, just impromptu trivia. Who's older, Russell Wilson or James Harden?
I want to say James Harden.
I'm going to say it's James Harden, but not by much.
Yeah.
Wilson is like 8 months older. Mm-hmm. Wilson's already 34. Harden will be 34 in August. So the reason I asked you guys that was not a gotcha. I'm a little surprised. He's older than I thought. He's already 34. This football season, Russell Wilson will be 35.
I have a question too.
There's
for
a good
guys.
Reason that athleticism has kind of obviously dissipated.
Go ahead, Dustin.
My question is, I love that you brought up the Vance Joseph thing, because like when I was looking at them this morning, it blew my mind. Other than Dave Campo, can you ever remember a former head coach going back in an assistant role to another NFL team as a coordinator?
Yeah, and Dave Campo was literally just happy to be hanging out. there's no other way around it. Sorry to bum rush your question. I also want to mention this. They've got a new offensive coordinator, and this guy is terrible. And sorry to be disrespectful. Joe Lombardi is now, again, it's Sean Payton's offense. I watched Joe Lombardi run the Lions offense. We saw him with the Chargers. Like, that guy is hanging on because of his last name. He is a terrible OC.
Well, just to your point, I don't think he's going to have, I mean, he's going to be there. He's collecting a check, but we all know it's Sean Payton's show. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out there. I can't think of anybody else besides Campbell, which you guys referenced in terms of this team. But, you know, Patrick, you referenced the age. Did the Denver Broncos, when they sat across from Russell Wilson negotiating this 5 for $242, as Dustin alluded to, not realize, hey, this guy's going to be 38, 39 years old at the end of this deal?
Well, my favorite is when you look at the contract, you know, the website we mentioned yesterday, we had Keith Smith on SpotTrack.
Yep.
It says potential out in 2026. I think we can no longer say potential out. Definite out in 2026 for Denver, because the final 3 years of the deal, 26, 27, and 28, $40 million, $44 million, and $50 million at the age of 40 for Russell Wilson.
Not a super likable team, because if we're being honest and the cameras aren't on and nobody's listening on the radio, Sean Payton, buster. Russell Wilson, buster. Fair?
Yeah, I'm not a big Sean Payton guy. I think he's kind of annoying. I think the juicy fruit thing has gotten old. However, I will say this. The movie based on his life where Kevin James played him, I actually enjoyed it, and I didn't want to.
Also, something else that's factual. The Denver Broncos and Russell Wilson could go 0-17 this year. Russell Wilson still wins. Sierra. Scoreboard. My man walks around on social media talking about diarrhea and weird stuff, but he still goes home. Too shorty. When we come back, top 10 closing tabs. The big guy.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Unlimited. All right, NFL betting guide is available now. Daily best bets for every sport. VSiN expert leaderboard. So those are the picks, but our betting guide, which dropped this morning, everybody's buzzing. Introductory offer for $19, VSiN.com/subscribe. Again, $175, you want to get the guide and the picks and everything we offer, including the tools and the splits. Through the Super Bowl, don't have to worry about a monthly payment. Go check it out, VSiN.com/subscribe. It's worth it. If you like the NFL, you need the guide. Got you back here, Sharp Money. Mal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Let's see. So we got three finals. The Pirates beat the Padres. Padres stink. Padres are now 37-44, by the way, for those of you that had them winning the World Series this year. The Tigers beat the Rangers, a push for the big guy on the team total, 8-5. The Royals beat the Guardians, my goodness, 4-3. What the hell is wrong with that division?
The Guardians
right now, the Yankees,
first place, too. Like, their first day in first place, they lose to Kansas City.
Yeah, exactly. The Yankees, off the perfect game last night from Herman, up 10-3 in the top of 7. The Rays up 6-1, top of 8. And the White Sox up 7-5 over the Angels in Orange County, bottom 5.
By the way,
cleared the 4.5 team total. Go ahead.
In Oakland, the play was Oakland first 5 because they were up 3-2 through 5. And then that A's bullpen allowed 8 runs in the 6th. So just a note, a reminder, if you ever think you are inclined to bet a plus price game on the Oakland A's, which if you're betting them, they will always be a plus price, do not bet anything other than first 5 on them because that bullpen is god-awful.
Well, it's an all-time bad bullpen. It's, first off, just overall, they're the worst pitching team in baseball, but their bullpen is by far the worst, and your point is well taken. Yankees, these are the type of teams you need to get healthy against and clean up against. So anyway, big 10-3 lead right now off that perfect game. Okay, we got you back. Again, while it's kind of a downtime sitting on June 29th, not for us, we got the NFL betting guide out, but you also have NBA free agency opening up tomorrow on Friday. And plenty of baseball, plenty to do. Oh, I don't know if either of you, I actually found myself, I don't know how this happened, but I found myself watching the NFL NHL draft last night. Did either of you check out any of the NHL draft? Of course, Bedard going 1 overall to Chicago.
I just saw the part where he was drafted, just kind of seeing his backstory, but did not watch anything after that.
The anticlimactic part about the draft in the NHL, National Hockey League, is like, even if you draft a college kid, they go back to college. And there was a kid, this stud that the, who was it? Was it Philly? I believe it was the Flyers. The Flyers drafted this kid from Russia, and he still got 3 years remaining on his Russian contract.
Yeah.
So they drafted him.
I just don't love that. Like, and then in the NBA, they'll draft European guys and they can still play in Europe for another couple.
Immediate gratification.
Well, no, if I'm drafting you, you're on my team. Like, you're in my organization. You don't get to play for someone else anymore. You're my
Connor
investment.
Bedard. I would say about Connor Bedard, who's drafted by the Blackhawks, there's a lot of comparisons being made. Obviously, anytime you even mention Sid the Kid, Sidney Crosby, or Connor McDavid, that's big time territory. I would say this, Amal, and I'm talking about the feeder systems. You know, it's so different than any other sport with the juniors and college and pros. But when Crosby was drafted by the Penguins, he was coming to a good team, or relatively good team. Like somebody like Patrick Kane, when he was drafted by Chicago Blackhawks, to use it as similar, they were a pretty good team. Bedard's coming to a terrible Blackhawks team.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This team is really going to need to rebuild. I think what Ryan Davidson's the GM there. This team's got a long way to go. It's going to be a great piece to start out with. He's incredibly talented. You were able to see what he did in Regina at the Canadian Hockey League, led the league in points, assists, and of course, Canadian Hockey.
Got to be careful.
What town?
Regina.
Oh.
Got to be careful.
I heard something else.
I'm sure you did.
We got to be careful. Go ahead, finish up your thought.
But he's an incredible scorer, and hopefully he'll be able to continue at this level for the Blackhawks.
Okay.
I did see a great clip from the draft.
Uh-oh.
I've never related
Carey Price?
I've never related to anything more than Carey Price getting up there to announce the pick and his mind just going blank. And I know people wanted to make fun of him. I was like, you know what? That is me every day on Sharp Money when Patrick and Amal come to me. I look right at the camera, and there is nothing in the brain. Like right now.
So Carey Price is a Montreal legend, and you're 100% right. So the way the NHL draft works is they bring essentially the whole city up to the podium. So when Montreal came up, it was like everybody in their front office, everybody that's grew up in the province of Montreal. So they bring everybody up, and then they had Carey Price, who's, you know, an all-time great goaltender for them. He walks up, and I think, let's just say, for example, the first name of the kid they drafted was Brandon. That's all he said. He said the Montreal Canadiens select Brandon.
Imagine there was like multiple guys named Brandon there. They all
Three guys stand up.
Wait, is it me? Is
no,
it
I'm
him?
Serious. It was like they select Brandon, and then there was like a long ass pause. I couldn't even watch it. It was so awkward. There was a lot, and then the general manager crept up behind Price. It was like they gave the last name, but there was a bunch of Brandons in the crowd, like me.
Look, everyone wants to clown him. I have to say, I related to him very much in that instance. He thought he had it. He was ready to go. He gets up in front of the mic, and it's just blankness.
Was it Cam Robinson that got suspended 4 games for betting?
Yes.
Okay, you want to go ahead and give the official report on that?
That was it. Cam Robinson suspended. No, it wasn't betting. It was PEDs.
Oh, PEDs.
Yeah,
sorry.
It was PEDs. 4 games. Big loss for them. I mean, they're supposed to be good this year. He's a good offensive lineman. Wouldn't say he's special or anything, but certainly an issue. Going to miss out on a $3.5 million base salary for that. Because it voids, okay. So Field Yates saying it voids the guaranteed money left in his contract. Wow, that's crazy. Ugh.
Wait, does what now?
This is, according to Field Yates of ESPN, this suspension costs Cam Robinson $3.55 million in his base salary and voids the guaranteed money left in his contract.
Well, I'm sure that, you know what, that makes sense because that's a tremendous job by the team to say, yeah, we'll get, because well, first off, NFL money ain't guaranteed. And then if you get popped for something like PEDs, the team can put that addendum in there and you're screwed. How about this? Don't take PEDs. Okay, let's close some tabs. And we got the top 10 as well.
Connor Bedard, according to Google, is not related to Eric Bedard, former Orioles pitcher, who was once traded for Kim Micolio, George Sherrill, Chris Tillman. But the key to that trade with Seattle was?
Felix Hernandez.
Adam Jones.
Oh. That's right, to the Orioles.
Not related to Pac-Man Jones.
Technically, same name, Adam Jones. That's very well done by
you. Not related to Mr. Jones.
Mr. Jones, he strikes up a conversation.
Yeah, he does. Stupid show. Next.
I was trying to find for James Harden the cities with the best strip clubs in America because that's where he's going to go. And New York and L.A. is someone who has been to those establishments. In both cities, don't think they're up to his standards. However, here's an issue. According to Thrillist, the number one state for strip clubs is West Virginia, and they do not have they don't have an NBA team, so he's in trouble.
We'll do your top 10 tomorrow. Wait, I just want to continue this thread. Where are the best strip clubs you've been, Dustin?
Las Vegas.
I don't even know. Oh, the only time I've ever been to a strip club in Vegas is when you guys made me go that one time.
Yeah, and you stood in the corner.
It's awkward. I don't know these people.
That's the point. You pay them to know them.
Yeah, but it makes me feel weird. I know the place that doesn't. I used to live right at 8.5 Mile in John R. I think most of you know the road 8 Mile, M&M. There was a movie made about him. I lived a 0.5 mile down the road. The reason 8 Mile is so prominent in Michigan, it's like the dividing line of you go south of 8 Mile and then you go north of 8 Mile. And it's, society's different on both sides of the street. So 8 Mile also is just littered with strip clubs. It is like, I don't even know if there's bathrooms in the strip clubs.
I think there
might be outhouses. So I would encourage to stay away from 8 Mile if you want to go to a strip club.
I'm on Google Maps there. Quite an area. Coney Island hot dog place, though. Big fan of those.
Quite an area is a good way of putting it. You're definitely quite an area. Okay. Good show. Who should I thank? Oh, thank everybody at VSiN for your hard work in putting together the 2023 NFL Betting Guide. Femi Abebefe, Josh Applebaum, Jensen Lewis, and Vinny Maliulo joined. If you want your own copy of the Betting Guide, go to vsin.com/subscribe. It's that simple. Okay, fellas, anything else on the way out?
Nope. Thank you, America. Thank you.
Thank you, America. For what, strip clubs?
Just being you.
Shout to America.